Beruchim Abayim Rabotai, welcome to a special edition of our summer series here at the Ohel Yaakov Synagogue on Lawrence Avenue in Deal, New Jersey. Beruchim Abayim to everybody. Tonight's class has been sponsored by one of our charter members, our dear friend Mr. Adam Azrak, Hashem Yishmeneu V'Hayehu, L'Rfu'at Shenemar L'Chol Chole Amo Yisrael El Narefan Elahem R'Fu'at HaNefesh U'Rfu'at HaGuf U'Rfu'atam K'Ruba L'Avo V'Chen Yirasom V'Nomar Amen. I want to welcome all the familiar faces that are here in the synagogue for the summer, and Be'azat Hashem, we hope to continue our exploration of the Amidah. These classes have a special significance because we're studying them lezecher nishmat Revit David u'Moshe. Zecher Sadiq v'Kadosh Levracha was one of the great Sadiqim of Morocco, and there's so many stories about Revit David u'Moshe. One tonight that comes to mind was that at a certain time in history, the Moroccan government used to investigate people that were trying to smuggle goods from one place to the next. And there was one fellow, he was going to the Kever of Revit David u'Moshe, and he had goods, tea, coffee, things that were considered contraband. And as he was going, it was middle of the night, sure enough, the cops or the border patrol stopped him, and they come and say, okay, you have to open up the truck. We have to see what's in there. So the guy doesn't know what to do. He says, you know what? Now it's dark. Let me sleep tonight. And tomorrow morning when it's light outside, we'll open the truck. We can't see anything. It's in the middle of the road. So the border patrol guy said, fine. He wasn't too far from Rabbi David u'Moshe's kever. So he went to Rabbi David u'Moshe's kever and he prayed the whole night. He went to sleep. Rabbi David u'Moshe came to him and said, tomorrow morning when he asks you who the merchandise belongs to, you tell him it belongs to me, Rabbi David u'Moshe. And that's La'araba. Sure enough, the next morning, the guy comes and he opens the merchandise, all contraband, all illegal stuff. So he says, who does this stuff belong to? So he says, actually belongs to the tzaddik, Rabbi David u'Moshe. So who's Rabbi David u'Moshe? He's buried a few kilometers from over here, the cemetery. So God says, this is right. Take it and go. Go give it to the tzaddik. So the guy says, you believe me? So he says, last night I also had a dream. And Rabbi David u'Moshe came to me in a dream and told me, what are you bothering me? It's my merchandise. Give me the merchandise. Don't let him go. Says the rabbi, says it's merchandise, so you better go. Anyway, this guy, he made a big profit from the merchandise, and he went and he supported the grave. He gave all different sweets and candies and drinks at the Hilula. You see the power of the tzaddikim. Just to say their names and just to connect to them is a great zichut for all of us. We are at the part of the Amidah now. We're doing it, we have to do a full job. We're actually up to Atah Kadosh, the third beracha, but as I open the Sidur, I noticed that there's a couple of lines before Atah Kadosh. So I said, we cannot skip over that. That is the section called Nakdishach. So we have to do the Nakdishach as well. Otherwise we're doing half a job. Now, before we get to the Nakdishach, we have to develop another area of the tefillah which we really didn't talk about. Because Nakdishach finds itself in the Hazara. It's not in the Lahash. It's in the repetition Amidah, which is really the domain of the Shaliach Sibur, of the Hazan. That's his area. Whereas the Tefillah Belachash is the area of the Sibur. Everybody prays Tefillah Belachash. But the repetition Amidah, that's the Hazan's job. So before we go further, it's worthy just to make a few comments so we understand the purpose of a Shaliach Sibur, the purpose of a Hazan. As I told you, we didn't come for these shi'urim to just interpret words. Nagdishach, we will exalt you, v'naritzach, and we will praise you, k'no amsiyah, like the pleasant words. That, we don't have to have shi'urim for that. That is monotonous. Such classes will not help your kavanah, the tefillah. What's going to help your kavanah is to get a broad perspective of the tefillah. So we've spoken about the kiddush of the Bet Knesset. We spoke about the power of a minyan. So every class we have to develop some more surrounding information to make the tefillah complete. See, if you don't create an environment, then the tefillah is like you have a beautiful armon, a palace, without any furniture. We need to paint and put the tapestries up and make a whole beautiful design, so when you put the amidah in, now it's in a beautiful environment. So tonight, before we explain the Nagdishach, which we'll get to, we need to explain the concept of a Shaliach Sibur. Very simple. It's not what we call in English a cantor. Nor is it somebody that is just brought up to the teva to be a conductor of some sort. There's one function of the Shaliach Sibur, and that is to elevate the kahal and to inspire the kahal. He has a job, not just to set the tempo or the pace or to fulfill his obligations as such. His main obligation is to motivate kahal. Sometimes you have hazanim that they get up there to hazan. They're boring. They don't have a tune, or they don't have the proper pronunciation, and they're not exciting. And the sibur is just drudging along, listening to the hazan, but you see everybody just with lackluster, without any excitement or exuberance, or without any vibrancy. It's just dull. It's just ordinary or pedestrian. The job of the hazan, if he's going to get up to the teva, you have a responsibility. You have to excite. And there were great tzaddikim that in the middle of the tefillah, they would tell the hazan, sit down. Go down. Why? Because you're not doing your job. You go up there. Bet lahavut, with excitement, each word, and to make it meaningful. I want to make another point. A lot of times, somebody has yahrzeit for their parents, let's say, and the custom is on the yahrzeit to try to become hazan. It's a zechut to be the shaliach sibur on the day of the yahrzeit. But you have to know that it's no chokhmah just to be the hazan and not do it in the correct way. If a person is just going to be the hazan on the day of the yahrzeit and fumble over the words, and the sibur is going to be put to sleep, and nobody's going to get excited, so instead of doing a service for the niftar, you did a disservice to the niftar. Better let somebody else go up. The teva is, it has to be alive. The teva is like the engine of the Bet Knesset. The engine has to be revved up by the hazan. It's not a manual or a bicycle. You get up there, you gotta turn on the motors and get everybody into the kahal, into the tefillah itself. There's a lot of people, by nature they're not humble. By nature they're arrogant, and they have ego. But there's one time where they become humble, when they go up to the teva. The teva makes everybody humble. All of a sudden you can't hear their voice. What happened to the guy's voice? You see the people that go up to the Sefer Torah, something about the Sefer Torah, it's like laryngitis. You get up to the Sefer Torah. Ever notice? When the guy's sitting in his seat, he's screaming at his friend, talking from across the shul, you can't keep the guy quiet. He goes up to the Torah. Hey, yo, what happened to the guy? What happened to your voice? The cat got your tongue? What happened to you over here? I don't know what it is. What are they nervous about? They're probably nervous because they don't know how to read it, or so this is something that you should practice. When you get up to the teva, bekol ram, rabbanan barichu et Hashem mevorach. The whole shul should hear you. If anything, it should be that they tell, hey, what are you screaming for? Oh, that's good. Instead, when only three guys hear the beracha, and noten Torah, he mumbles under his breath. Nobody hears the baruchu baruch Hashem amen. So another thing, when you go up to the teva, you have an obligation to say it out loud. There's no room for humility at the teva. You have to have what's called ga'avah dikdusha, good ga'avah.
The gomel also.
Also, it's the same concept. In the Beit HaMikdash, they treated the hazanut so seriously that they used to have an orchestra. The Leviim used to have a band that used to pray during the services. So could you imagine the excitement? So you shouldn't think that when our hazanim get up and they sing the nishmat in a beautiful tune, this is something we have to embrace. If we pay attention to it, they're caressing each word. They're taking each word and they're delivering it to Borei Olam on a silver platter. They're making each word with a keter that they're putting on it. The Midrash says that there was a fellow by the name of Navot. Navot was the neighbor of the king, Ahav. He was his neighbor. Ahav one day was looking out of his window. Ahav was a Jewish king. He looked out of his window. He saw Navot's field. He said, "Wow, what a field that is. You know something? I want to annex that field to my property." So he went to Navot and he told him, "I want to buy your field." He told him, "It's not for sale. I'll pay you an exorbitant amount of money. I'm not selling." He went home and he was all upset. Za'alan. His wife saw him despondent. His wife was Izebel. Izebel was like her name, Zbale. She was garbage. She incited Ahab. She says, "You're the king. You don't have to ask to buy the field. The Jervi of eminent domain? Just go there and take the field." Anyway, Ahab listened to his wife. He shouldn't have. He listened to his wife, and they made a whole false kangaroo court against this guy Navot. They orchestrated false witnesses against him, and they testified. At the end, they killed him. And sure enough, he got his field. The Gemara, the Midrash asks, why did Navot suffer such bad luck? For so many years, he lived next to the king never even looked out the window. All of a sudden, one year, the king's looking at the field, he gets all excited. What happened? They say, Navot used to go up to Jerusalem for the holidays, for Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. The holidays, this is before they had Miami Beach and the Bahamas and all the other places. So they used to go up to Jerusalem. What do they know? And they went up to the holidays, and he used to be the Hazan. The Pasuk says, Kaved et Hashem mehunecha. Everybody has to honor God from what he endowed him. Everybody has a gift. Some people have a good voice. Some people have good education, good teaching skills. Some people have good organization skills. Everybody has a talent. Nobody in this world does not have a talent. So the Pasuk says, Kaved et Hashem mehunecha. Whatever ability you have and God gave you, use it to serve him. So the Gemara's Doresh, Al tikre mehunecha, ela megironecha. Honor God from your throat. Navot had a beautiful voice. And he gave hazanut, and he would inspire the kahal. He got a little older in his life. He said, "You know what? I'm not going to Yerushalayim anymore. I need it for me. Stay home. I'm not going to trouble myself." Borei Olam said, "The kahal is relying on you for your hazanut. And instead, you're becoming lazy. That's your tikkun. That's your purpose. That's your calling." And therefore, look what Borei Olam did. He says, whoever goes up to Yerushalayim, God would protect their assets for them. You didn't go up to Yerushalayim, now the assets became under the scrutiny of a people. And look how God punishes measure for measure. Because you didn't use your voice, what took down Navot? The voice of false witnesses. To testify, you have to say your voice. And therefore you see over here that when somebody's invited to be the Hazan, you should look at it like a great opportunity. Halakha says that if you're not the permanent Hazan of the synagogue, the Derech Eretz is you're supposed to be Mesarev first. You're supposed to
refuse.
Not because you really want to refuse. Really excited to be the Hazan. But it's not respectful to be so overly eager to jump at the teva. So the first time they invite you, go like this. The second time when they invite you, you get up slowly as if you're... The third time you're ready, you jump up. Now that's only talking about when you're being invited by one of the bourgeoisie, one of the committee. However, if the rabbi invites you to go up, the Gemara says, "En miservim the gadol." You don't hesitate when the gadol tells you, "Go up, hey, go up." Now, it's work to be a hazan. I don't say no. Especially the way we're saying it tonight, it's work. You have to constantly feel the pulse of the kahal. If you feel that they're falling out, you have to raise your voice a little, turn around to them, get a little, move around a little, like you see the hazanim, sing a little more, get them excited, so say things, pronunciate the words, enunciate them. So when you're invited to be the hazan, if you're capable, you should take advantage of this opportunity. Good. That's regarding the hazanut. Now we get to the area where the hazan is very important. And this is the Nagdishach. Correct. Absolutely. That's halachot. We didn't come here to talk halachot. We're coming here to give philosophy behind it. But you're correct, Rabbi Yitzhak. There is definitely halachot that the Shliach Tzibur has to know. I'm going to explain to you another concept here. The Gemara writes in Berachot, Yahid Sheta'a Siman Ra'lo. An individual that made a mistake in his prayer, it's a bad sign for him. It's a bad omen. Guy's praying at home, individual, and maybe he didn't use the Sidur, and he starts the Amidah, and in the middle of Amidah, he finds himself in Az Yashir somewhere. He took a left turn, and he ends up, he took a detour, and he's in left field now. Also says, where am I? So it's a bad sign. If a person loses himself in the Tefillah, the Gemara says, it's not a good sign. Shaliach Sibur Sheta'a Siman Ra Leshonhav Shesheluho Shel Adam Kemoto. That's an amazing concept. If a Hazan makes a mistake at the Teba, that's a bad sign for the entire Sibur, because he is their Shaliach, he is their agent. And we have a very important halachic rule. I need to teach this to you tonight. The rule is like this: Shiluho shel Adam kimoto. What does it mean? My agent is an extension of me. Shiluho shel Adam, the agent of a man, kimoto, is like him. I once said, in Hebrew, the word kimoto is like his death, kimoto. If you could do something yourself, do it yourself. Don't delegate to somebody else. Because 9 out of 10 times, when you let somebody else do it, they mess up. And therefore, you tell the guy, I told you to do it this way. Ma, I made a mistake. Oh, you killed me. Shiluho shel Adam. Kemoto. You send somebody to do a job for you, kemoto, it's like he killed you. But in all seriousness, what the Gemara is meaning to say is, for example, you have a fellow living in New York. He wants to engage a lady, Kedushin, in Los Angeles. He can't make it to Los Angeles. So what does he do? He appoints an agent. He gives the agent the ring. Go to Los Angeles, go to Beverly Hills. There's a lady in this place over here, her name is Sarah. Go take the ring and say, behold, you are sanctified to Mr. Flan Flan in New York with this ring over here, Kedat Moshe V'Yisrael. He's agent. But the agent is like the person. It works. Now, I'm not saying it's the most romantic way to get engaged, to send a shaliach. I don't know if their marriage is starting off on the right foot. But she could also send a shaliach to receive it. She says, oh yeah, you didn't have the decency to come, you know what? Go there, go give it to her. So you have two agents giving rings to each other, and they're being mekadesh, husband and wife, to the original people. That's a simple interpretation. And halakha talks a great length on the concept of a shaliach. But I want to explain to you on a deeper level tonight. It is very important. Shiluho shel Adam kemoto means like this. The agent is like the person that sent him. Not only that he's an extension of the person, that he has rights to execute, like power of attorney. Not only that. You take on the qualities of the one that sent you. It's as if the one that sent you now is you. For example, if the one that sent you is a Sadiq and is a great, great, pious person, so the agent now is plugged into that person, and therefore will have tremendous success. Which means when you appoint the shaliach, what you did was you doubled yourself. That is you, and there's your shaliach, but your shaliach is you. It's synonymous. To explain this good, I have to say it, and it fits in perfect with the parasha that we just read. The spies that were sent, the 12 spies, the Torah says they were great men, kulam anashim, Rashi says hashuvim. They were from the greatest level of tzidkut, of righteousness, purity. These were not, listen, Yehoshua ben Nun is on the list. He was the successor of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Ramban says he wasn't the greatest of the 12 men. The first five men listed were greater than Yehoshua. So could you imagine the aptitude, the level? How did they make a mistake? Such a mistake to come back and speak disparagingly about the land. You know what the explanation is? Who sent them? Here's the big question. Everybody thinks what Moshe sent them. Shelach lecha anashim. And God sent Moshe. So if that's the way it worked, then it should have been that they are like Moshe. Shiluchos shel adam kemoto. It's impossible. If Moshe sent them and they went as agents of Moshe, there's no way they can make a mistake, because they have 12 Moshes. Impossible. So how? Now my question becomes,
Who sent them?
How did they make a mistake now? Based on what I'm telling you tonight, that the Shaliyah is like the person. So if you look in Devarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu rehashes the story, Moshe Rabbeinu says, and you came to me, but tishlehu elai kullechem. You sent to me and you came to me, vatomeru, and you said, nishleha anashim. You said, let us send people to go spy out the land. It comes out there were two senders. There was the Jewish people that wanted to send spies, and then Moshe. What does it mean? The Jewish people had an agenda. They were not good senders. They wanted to stay in the Midbar, maybe go back to Egypt. When God heard that the Jews are the ones that are commissioning the spies, Borei Olam said the spies have no shot. Because if the one that's sending has a plot, so then the ones that are being sent are going to be plugged in. So God tried to neutralize it. So God tells Moshe, now you have to send them. Shelach lecha. To neutralize what Klai Yisrael, you have to be the guy that sends, otherwise it's going to be, they're going to come from the wrong one. At the end, it seems that the Meragelim, they, in their mind at least, they understood they were being represented by Bnei Yisrael. They didn't go as representatives of Moshe. If they would have went as representatives of Moshe, never. It means you're Moshe. They went as representatives of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, since the sender had a bad plot, the spies also ended up bad. It's an amazing concept, what I'm telling you. That's why, if you look in the Haftarah, when it says Yehoshua sent spies in his day to Israel, it says he sent them Heresh Lemor. Heresh. Heresh means he sent them on the QT. Quiet. He sent them without anybody knowing, silently, clandestinely. Why? because he knew what happened in his situation. Because already people knew about it, and therefore they sent them, therefore it got ruined. So Yeshua said, I'm sending them. Nobody else could have sent. He told them privately, so no other of the Jewish people come along and say, yeah, we also want them to go. Oh, now already, if you have another sender, it can compromise the shlichut. When Hazan gets up to the Teva, he has the power of the Sibur. So when he makes a mistake, everybody's screaming at the Hazan, scream at yourself. He can only make a mistake if there's something wrong with you. He can only miss the word or say the wrong beracha if there's something wrong in the kahal, because you sent them. So then he's you. So it's the reverse. If the Hazan makes a mistake, the Hazan should look at the Sibur. Hey, what are you doing? You caused me to make an error. Once I tell you this, you need to know a very, very high concept. When we were in our mother's wombs many years ago, before we came into this world, the Gemara says God comes to the embryo and has a conversation, makes us sign a contract. Listen, you're coming into this world, I want you to guarantee me you're going to be a Sadiq, not an Asha. Don't mess up over here. You get one chance, you better be righteous, and don't be an Asha. You better do the right things, don't get into trouble. And I'm giving you a list of 613 errands I need you to do for me. This is your calling. Otherwise, don't go into the world. You accept? Already you're there, already in the womb. You want to come out. You heard about all the good things about this world over here. I accept. But listen, means 248 mitzvot, 365 averot. You could do this, you can't do that. I'm in, I'm done. Okay, I'm counting on you. When you come into this world, every single person is a shaliach. You have a mission. And who sent you? God. And if the rule is true that shiluho shel adam kimoto, that the one that's on the mission, he takes on the traits of the one that sent, that means all of us, I don't want to say it, but I have to say it, we have the power of God. Because he sent us. Therefore, a person can never say, this mitzvah is too difficult. What do you mean? You're God. God sent you. You weren't sent by a simpleton. You weren't sent by some weakling. You were commissioned by Borei Olam. And therefore, shiluho shel adam kimoto. The messenger takes on the power of the one that sent him. Just like the Hazan is the Sibur, and the Sibur is the Hazan, and just like if the spies would have listened to Moshe, they wouldn't have made a mistake, but they listened to the wrong group. When God sends you to this world, you're working for God. When you work for God, finished. So you can never give an excuse, how can I keep kosher? Too difficult. What do you mean? You don't know who you are. Who do you think sent you? You're not being sent by some low person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, b'chbodo b'atzmo. Himself, he sent you. This is a very, very, very important rule over here. The potential of human beings is unlimited. Who knows how far it goes? Now, I need to give you one more introduction. When we pray the Amidah, there's many kavanot in the Amidah. There was one great rabbi called the Rashash, Rabbi Shalom Sharabi. He has a sidur with kavanot, Kabbalistic kavanot. I don't know if you ever saw it. It doesn't look anything like the conventional sidurim that we have. This sidur is very big. And on each word is pages and pages and pages and pages. For those that use this sidur, Hashem sefatai teftach ufi yagit telatecha could take you 20 minutes. That means you're going to start the Amidah with the Sibur. After you finish Asim Sifatay Tiftah, they're in Alinu L'Shabeh already. By the time you get to Magen Abraham, they're already in breakfast. Which means it's a very, very drawn out Kavanah. The Gemara says, Gadol ha-mitzuveh ve'oseh yoter mimi she'enu mitzuveh ve'oseh. It's a very interesting Gemara. If I were to ask you a question, who's better? Somebody that's commanded to do a mitzvah or somebody that does it voluntarily? Sure. Conventional wisdom says the volunteer is always better than the one that's commanded. Because I'm doing it, I didn't have to do it, I'm a tzaddik, I donated my services. But the Gemara says reverse logic. The one that's commanded to do the mitzvah is greater. Based on what I told you tonight, we have an understanding. When you're commanded to do the mitzvah, now God sent you. Now you're an agent of God. Now you take on all the powers that God invests in you. If you're doing it on your own, and you weren't commanded, you're just doing volunteerism, it's not to God. Now you're on your own. That means, for example, let's say I pray with the Siddur of the Rashash. The Rashash, as much Kavanah as he puts in the Siddur, it's not the end all. He was only one rabbi with one Kavanah. There's hundreds and thousands of different Kavanot. The greatest rabbi, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, he had Kavanot. And let's say a person knows all the Kavanot of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. That's it, you can't know anymore. But I want to ask you a question. There's one person that knows more than Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, it's Kavanot. Who's that? Hakadosh Baruch Hu. I want my Amidah to be not according to the Rashash, not according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. I want it to be according to Hashem's Kavanah, which we never even saw this Kavanah yet. So how do I do that? God commands me to pray. I have to pray every day. Oh, so before I come to the Amidah, I come along and I think in my mind, I'm praying because you commanded me. Bingo. Now you're a shaliach. Now whatever you do is like Hashem is doing. When that guy gives the ring, the shaliach gives the ring in Los Angeles, it's like the guy in New York gave the ring. They're one and the same. Therefore, the words are coming out of my mouth, but the Kavanah is the Kavanah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You understand? Which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me. So therefore, Shiluho Shel Adam Kemoto, I am like the one that sent me. Therefore, when you do mitzvot, because you're commanded, you're able to lift yourself up to the highest Kavanah, even higher than Kavanot of Rashash, than the Bishamom in Yochai. Just by saying the words. God does all the rest. Just read the words, Baruch Atah Hashem. I'm doing it because of Borei Olam. But it's a mindset. You have to always think before you do the mitzvah, because Borei Olam said. Now here the Shaliach Sibur at the Nekdishach has to raise his voice. And we start. Nekdishach Benar Isach. The Ben Ish Chai says, before you get to this section, you're supposed to say, in your mind at least, I am now about to fulfill the mitzvah that's written in the Torah, V'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. We have an obligation to sanctify God's name in public. And I am now about to fulfill this mitzvah from the Torah to sanctify God's name. Nekdishach, we're going to sanctify you. And Arisach, we're going to exalt you or praise you. Okay. I wonder what the praise is going to be. Well, kino'am siyah, like the pleasant speech or the pleasant conversations of Sod Sarfe Kodesh, of the Sarfe Kodesh Seraphim. Is the angels. There's a certain group of angels called Seraphim. Seraphim are fiery angels. Saraf is a fire. I'm going to praise you, God, with the same exact praise that the fiery angels praise you on a daily basis. Hamshaleshim lecha kedusha. Because these fiery angels, every morning, they praise you in three ways. It's a triple praise. And therefore, we're only human beings. But Hashem really thinks a lot of us. That He allows us to praise Him with the same lyrics, the same script as the Seraphim. We're going to find out who these Seraphim are in a second. But they have to be holy people. Holy people, they're angels. They're not from this world. I told you many times, there's many worlds. The highest being the world of Atzilut. That's the world where God is, let's say, in concentration. Under it you have the world of Biriyah and Yesirah. Those are names of worlds. That's where the angels are. So the angels are not even really too much involved in this world. They're on a very high madriga. And they praise God. Hamshaleshim. It's three times they praise. We'll see what it is. Kakatuv al yad nebiach. As it is written in the prophets. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk says that the angels gather in front of Borei Olam every single day. And they have their wings. And it says that their legs are together. Their legs are together, like we pray the Amidah. And they have their wings, six wings they have. It says, Bishtayim yichase panav, two wings cover their face. Bishtayim yichase raglav, two wings cover their legs. Bishtayim yi'ofif, and with two wings they fly. And they fly up to the section, to the choir area, where they're in front of Borei Olam. And it says, Vekara, this is a pasuk now, Vekara ze el ze ve'amar. And the angels, they call each other in unison. It's the angels now, Vekara. The angels, ze, they turn to the right, to the left, ze el ze ve'amar. And they sing it exactly at a certain moment, and they have to say it together. Not like sometimes you come to the shul, and one guy saying Kaddish, he's ahead, and this guy's slow, they throw you out. That's it. You failed. The Malachim have to sing it in precision. And what do they sing? Ve'amar, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh.
That's
the three. Hamshal Neshim, that's the triple praise that they say. Hamshal Neshim Lecha Kedusha.
They say three times.
And they say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Hashem Sevaot, God, the God of the legions, meaning God runs the entire universe, the stars, the galaxies, that's the Sevaot. Meloch Kol Ha'aretz Kevodo. God's glory fills the entire earth. Meloch Kol Ha'aretz. That's the song that they sing. End of story for a second. So you have to know that. Now, if you want the long version of this, you have to go back in the Sidur to the Berachav Yotzer. And you have the whole story in Yotzer. Go to 107 in your Sidurim. Start from the paragraph Tetbarach. This paragraph over here gives us the full story how the angels praise God in the morning. Tetbarach lanetzach surenu. God creates the holy ones. That's the angels. May you be praised. Yotzer mesharetim. You create servants. That's a different type of angels. These angels, they stand berum olam, in the highest echelons in the heavens. Umashmi'in biyirah, and they out loud, mashmi'in, it's audible with their voice, yahad bekol, together with a voice, divrei Elohim chayim melech olam. They sing the praises of the everlasting God. Now, you know these angels? Look at the praises of these malachim. Kulam ahubim. They're beloved by God. And they love each other. Kulam Birurim, they're chosen. Kulam Giborim, they're strong. An angel is powerful. Kulam Kedushim, they're holy. Kulam Osim Be'ema Ubirar Eson Kunehem. All these Malachim, they're very loyal to God. Whatever God tells them to do, they do, because angels have a job. Raphael's in charge of healing. And Michael, Eliyahu, Gabriel, every angel has a specific purpose. V'chulam potchim et pihem. And every morning the angels open their mouth. V'kdusha u'ptahara. Impurity. The Zohar HaKadosh says before the angels could sing the praises of God, they have to go to the mikveh. There's a mikveh in the Shamayim. The mikveh is called Nahar Dinor. It's the fiery river of Dinor, of the fire, the fiery river. And they have to go dip in the mikveh 365 times, corresponding to 365 days of the year. And when they come out of the mikveh, now they have tahara. You'll ask, Rabbi, where'd they get tameh from? Because sometimes the angels have to come down to earth to do some missions. So, not so much good. Sometimes they end up in places that are not so good. Bishira ubzimra. And they sing the praise. They don't just say it. You have to sing it. Ubzimra with a tune.
Kele zimra or just...
No, bizimra, they don't have kele zimra, but in a tune. And we go on and it says, V'chulam mikabbelim alim ol malchut shamayim. Before they can praise God, they have to accept upon themselves Ol Malchut Shamayim, the yoke of heaven, Zemizeh. They accept it from each other. Because when you're in a group and you see everybody doing the same thing, so it's contagious.
Amen.
So the Ol Malchut Shamayim is Zemizeh. You see, you're affected by your surroundings, even the angels. When you see, oh, could you imagine the scene? Every morning there's millions and millions of angels. And they're all gathering. And they have to be there on time. No, it has to be done exactly at sunrise. That's when the praise has to come out of their mouths. Exactly at Netzach Hamah. It's an army of Malachim. They're coming, coming, coming. And they accept Yirat Shamayim and Ol Malchut Shamayim, the yoke of heaven, from each other. V'notim leshut zelazeh. Leshut zelazeh means they give each other permission, which means they prepare each other that everybody's going to do it together. Lehagdish liyosram. And the purpose of this meeting is to exalt their Creator. Besafa birura. In a clear language, no mumbling, no swallowing the words. Ubin ima. And in a pleasant voice. Kedusha kulam ke'ehad. They all say it as once. Onim ve'ema. Omerim ve'iran. They say in fear. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Now, before we get to the kadosh, 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 when we come to Nakdishach, we're saying, God, whatever the angels do, we're doing the same thing. That means whatever you just read here, you got to do the same thing, which is not enough just to say kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. What do you mean? There's a whole page what the angels did. First of all, you have to say it b'shira. That's why we sing Nakdishach. B'shira u'zumra. You have to sing the Nakdishach because the angels sing it. You have to be betahara. Some people, that's why they go to the mikveh every morning before they pray, because the angels also have to go to Nahar Dinor. They have to dip in the mikveh, and you have to say it in unison. Not that half the shul singing one tune and the other shul singing another tune. That's why the Hazan is the maestro. He has to keep everybody together and everybody has to be standing. No, there's two different kadoshes. This kadosh is in the different world. This is in the world of the kiseh. In the kiseh you sit. In the Amidah it's a different level. It's two different kiddushot. But I'm giving you the... If you want to really be like the angels, you have to do it like the angels do. That's only the end of the story. Now, when you get to this point, what does the word kadosh mean? Kadosh means something or someone that is separated. when I marry a lady, I say, Hare at mikudeshit. You are separated from the whole world for me. When I take an animal and I say, this animal is kodesh, I'm separating it from all the other animals that are non. Most people, yes, them kadosh, holy. What does holy mean? Holy, holy. They go like this, holy. What's this? Holy doesn't have any meaning. Holy is one of those words that nobody can define. So don't fall into that trap. God is holy. What does holy mean? Kadosh means God is separate. Now I'm going to explain to you the depth of it. Separate means for us to be kadosh, we have to separate ourselves from this world, remove ourselves from this world, and bring ourselves closer to spiritual. But God is spiritual already. So his kadosh is that he separates himself from the upper worlds and comes down to us. You understand? It's a reverse kadosh. I'll explain to you again. Our kiddusha is what? That we separate from the physical, the tum'ah, the earthliness, the materialism. We're kadosh. You have to put yourself away and go up. God is reversed. God is up. So what does he separate from? From the high levels of the Sham, and he comes down to us, to the earth. That's why the angels say, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Sivat. And what is the Kedusha? Melochol Ha'aretz. That he fills the Aretz, the earth. His glory fills the earth. That's the humility of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. That he comes down to the lowest areas and he fills every square millimeter of the entire universe. Once I'm telling you this, we have to explain that this is the Seraphim saying, by the way. This is the holy fiery angels. The Gemara Chonin says, the way it works is like this. The first group of angels are in the world called Asiyah. It's the lower world. They just say Kadosh. That's all they say. Kadosh! And that's it. That's their own. It's a one word song they have. Kadosh! That's it. Zach Baruch. You don't have to practice too much. Then you have the angels in the next world, Yesira. They say Kadosh, Kadosh. And then the highest angels, which is in the world of Biriyah, they say, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Sevaot Mechorat Kadosh. So you have three choirs. You have the first choir, Kadosh, that's a high level, but that's all they could say. The next level could say, Kadosh, Kadosh. And the third level says, Kadosh, 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 Hashem. Now, based on this, if you remember the story when Yaakov was fighting with the angel, remember that story? He was wrestling with the angel. When he was wrestling with the angel, all of a sudden the angel said, okay, shalihini, you got to send me up. Ki ala shahar. Because it's the morning. So Yaakov said, what are you talking about? Where are you going to the movies? Where's he going in the morning? So he said, no, we got to go sing at the choir. And this morning, it's my, I'm up. I'm the Hazan this morning. So I got to go up. Ki ala shahar. The problem is, the angels cannot praise a Kadosh Baruch Hu till sunrise. Why did this angel ask to leave before sunrise? Allah Shachar is like 72 minutes before sunrise. Oh, very good. Let's go to the mikveh. Very good. Let's go to the mikveh. Let's go to the mikveh. Very good. Alan, very good. Let's go to the mikveh. But there's another answer to this question. The main choir is the last ones that say God's name. Kadosh, 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 Hashem. The first choirs don't say Hashem's name. They just say Kadosh or Kadosh, Kadosh. Only the third choir says Kadosh, 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 Hashem. Understand? This Malach that was fighting with Yaakov, he was from the first groups. They have to start their song before sunrise. So exactly at sunrise, the third group will be able to say, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. So therefore, he says, Shadlechani ki ala shahar, and I have to already prepare the ground for the main piece that's going to be done by the angels on the highest level. Naktishak is a very, very, very high moment. That's why when we say the words Kadosh, Kadosh, we lift our feet off the ground. Because, as I explained to you, what is our purpose of Kiddushah? To separate from our earthliness, to get closer to God. So how do you show separation from earthliness? You lift your feet a little, as if you're... Where God is coming down, we're going up. The angels tell God, Baruch Kevod Hashem, sorry, Meloch Chol Ha'aretz Kevodo, God is going down. That's His Kiddushah, to come down. Our Kiddushah is to go up. But there's another reason why we shake and go up at the time of Kadosh Kadosh. When the angels are praising our Kadosh Baruch Hu, the fiery angels, you ever see a fire? A fire always flickers. How does a fire look? Goes up, goes down, goes up, goes down, goes up. So we want to act out like the seraphim. If we're doing the job, we want to be like the angels. So, kadosh, 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 like a flame that's flicking, going up, going down, going up, going down. This part of the Amidah, the Kiddushah, this is, Rav Levi Yitzhak Berdichev said, look how much God loves us. He lets us behave. We just read about these malachim. Look what they are. Kulam berurim, kulam giburim, kulam kedoshim, kulam osim be'ema, be'irad. A whole resume about the malachim. And God says, you know what? You're the same thing. How much does God know who we are? And how much we don't know who we are? If we would only know how great we were, that's our problem. Especially in this generation, we have such a low self-esteem about ourselves. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you don't know, yeah. I have angels and I have Klal Yisrael, the same to me. But our, unfortunately, we have such a depressed state of mind. Nothing, God doesn't love me. You understand, when you come to the Nakdishah, God's saying, hey, and wait. The angels cannot sing until we say Nakdishah first. Once we say Kadosh, 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 then the angels in the Shemaim are able to sing. That means, who knows, maybe the minyan that says Nakdishach the first, so they drum up the band. Who knows how it works? But it has to be from us first. The angels have no permission to open their mouth till Klai Yisrael begins the Nakdishach. So do you know what's happening at that moment? We start to say Kadosh. Also, the angels look down, and the conductor of the Seraphim says, okay, they started. Kadosh! We're controlling it. The problem is, you can't be a malach in the synagogue, and then leave the synagogue and become a barmanana satan. You cannot have such disparity. You cannot have such hypocrisy. You come into the, you know, you were just an angel 5 minutes ago in the Amidah. You know, you were standing there like a spark of flame, reciting in Bikdusha, Binaima, Bishira, Ubzamra, Kulam Kehadonim. And that's why our feet are together. Because the angels, their feet are together as well. And then all of a sudden, after you finish this great level, you leave and you go back to becoming a human being. And then we say, "Le'ummatam meshabbehim ve'omerim." It seems that there's angels on the other side, like a choir. Le'ummatam, those that are against them on the other side, they praise God and say, "Baruch kevod Hashem mimekomo." It's all the angels that are saying. They say, "Baruch kevod Hashem mimekomo." Blessed be God. Well, God is the source of blessing, actually. In His place. The holy books say, where's His place? Even the malachim don't know His place. They cannot, wherever His place is,
Everywhere.
No, in Keter, we're going to see that the angels actually say, Ayeh mekom kevodo. Ayeh, where is it? Where? They don't know. Which is, that's how high HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, that the divine presence, that's the upper worlds. So they say, Mimekomo, wherever the makom is. Wherever the makom is. And then we say, what it says in the Nevi'im, in the prophets it says, Yimloch Adonai le'olam Elohai Yisyon ador v'ador, Hallelujah. Forever and ever we will praise you. Le'dor v'ador, Hallelujah. But you, just like the angels praise you every day, we hope that we will have the zechut. That what? That we will also be able to praise you on a daily basis like this. Rabotai, once you see this action in Nagdishach, how could you not come to shul during the week and miss this? How can you pray by the kotel in your house? That's what I used to tell the rabbi when he used to say, where were you today? I prayed by the kotel. The kotel is in the closet.
Well, rabbi, maybe we should sing
in Yiddish, the word mir is me. So when the rabbi would say, where did you pray today? He said, by mir. They thought the Mir Yeshiva. Mir, by me, meaning in the house. You know, we can't wait. I wish we're going to pray Arbit now. I wish there was Nagdishach and Arbit so we can put this into fruition immediately. What we have over here now, let's just review. Shaliach Sibur has a big responsibility. Shaliach Sibur is not the one that's sleeping. Shaliach Sibur is the one that's supposed to inspire and get everybody excited in the proper kavanah, the proper tunes, with the proper motivation. And he's us and we are him. Because we appoint him. Shiluchu shel Adam kimoto. And therefore they're the same. And we are the Shilichim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he sent us that on a mission. And therefore we have godliness in us because we take on the traits of the sender. Therefore nothing is impossible for us. And that's why God says, since you're so great, you're an angel. You can say the praises just like the Malachim. And the contrary, the Malachim are waiting for your lead. They're waiting for your motions. So we should be zochet to fulfill this great mitzvah of the Nagdishah. But again, B'safa berura, to be clear, kadosh, 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 b'ni'ima, what a beautiful tune, p'tahara, b'kedusha, all the things that the angel, then Be'ezat Hashem, it'll bring us to very, 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 very high levels, not only here, but la'atid nabu as well. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen, amen, amen.